Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, and you're back in school. For the next hour, you certainly are, because I just have to respond to public demand. Fukushima. Everybody's asking about Fukushima. Recent blurbs to the press got everybody scared. I don't think you should be, not in the least, not if you get educated. And that's the theme of the show, as always. Radiation. I think if you understand what it means, you don't have a lot to be concerned about, because in the context of the word radiation, oxidative stress, DNA decay, radioactive elements, in the full span of it on the globe, Fukushima amounts to next to nothing. And this is what you got to keep in mind. It's in a sense a misdirection to point to specific incidences as really something to be afraid of. And that includes Chernobyl. That includes nuclear emission. That includes any acute newsworthy event. Usually, if you analyze it, reduces itself to not too much. The mistake that's made is that we don't respect bioaccumulation. In other words, the totality of all the free radical damage to the cell is really what we ought to be concerned about. And in that context, Fukushima is just one small particle that we're adding to the big picture. Now, I'm going to get a lot more specific about this, but we've got to go back to school so we can add this up and really get it into perspective. So the first thing we're going to do, and again, as always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. That's not .com, that's two T's, straighttalk.cc. Get to that website, because you got to do this by the pictures. It'll go so much smoother. And as always, if you can't, I'll describe it as best I can. So here we go. We're back to school. The atom, the molecule, the compound, basic seventh grade science. Let's get to the atom. An atom is like a grape or a peach. And on the outer level of that atom are a bunch of electrons, negatively charged entities that we call electrons, that we give a charge called minus one to, spinning around a nucleus. And in that nucleus, which is where the peach pits are, which is where the seeds of the grape live, in that peach pit, we have a center, and in that center, we have protons and neutrons. Those protons have a charge, plus one. The neutrons don't have a charge, but the neutrons have a weight, and the protons have a weight. So the center of an atom gives it its atomic mass. That mass is the meat. It's the power, so to speak, of the atom. When you have a radioactive atom, like uranium, like radium, like cesium, like strontium, we have elements out there, most of which, and this is the key to understand, what I'm talking about today in terms of don't be concerned about Fukushima is, if you just make simple inquiry into the reality, simple inquiry into the reality of where we get most of our radioactive elements. They're coming from nature itself. Most of the place we get our radioactive elements is from radon. 55% of our exposure throughout the world is through radon gas. Radon gas causes more cancer than Fukushima and a million Fukushimas will ever cause. Radon gas causes more cancer than any amount of nuclear war will cause. Radon gas causes more cancer than any MRI, than any CT scan. Any of your concerns about radiation damage from anything, from that CT scan, from that X-ray, from that cell phone, is completely and totally obliterated by the fact that most of our cancers are derived in terms of radiation from radon gas. Now you can readily pull that statistic. And I put it on the website. So if you go to picture number 11 on the website, they're going to clearly tell you that the sources of radiation exposure in the United States accounting for more cancer than anything come from natural radiation. You get natural radiation out of a banana. There are foods that will naturally give you radiation damage. And that radiation damage can be just as lethal as anything. Classically, we understand that in terms of radiation, radon gas. Now, that atom with its protons and its neutrons is normally a stable atom, meaning that our bodies are made of atoms. Those atoms are stuck together to make molecules. Those molecules make compounds. Those compounds make cells, and those cells make organs, and those organs make you. But some of those atoms and their ratio of protons to neutrons are not stable, meaning they're exploding, meaning you have protons breaking off and being emitted. You have protons and neutrons breaking off and being emitted. And collectively, when we have an atom like cesium, like strontium, like uranium, like gallium, like palladium, or when we make an isotope of an element like iodine-131, radioactive iodine, when we cite any one of these atoms that are unstable, it means that if they get into your system, if they hit you from the outside, if you drink them through water, if you eat them in food, they're going to go into your body. And because they're exploding, because they're unstable, whether it's alpha radiation, beta radiation, gamma radiation, ionizing radiation, whether or not these things are stable and how unstable they are determines in part how dangerous they are to your tissues, because when they hit the cell, they will chip off pieces of the cell. Now, you have to understand that most of what we call radiation can be understood in terms of a spectrum. And I put that spectrum on the website, a wide electromagnetic spectrum, meaning on one end of these waves of radiation that are highly dangerous, we have gamma rays. So when a nuclear bomb goes off, you have an entire wave of gamma rays. Gamma rays have a very high frequency. And any high frequency, meaning these waves have a very long distance if they're radio waves. So if you were to draw a wave, and if you get on the website, you'll see pictures of the wave. That wide, long wave can be shortened into very tiny waves. And when you have tiny waves, it creates high frequencies. High frequency is X-ray. High frequency is gamma ray. When you get a CT scan or you get an X-ray, those rays are very destructive to the cell because they have very high frequencies. When an atom bomb goes off, when someone's exposed to gamma radiation is what emits when Fukushima went off. Strontium 90, cesium 137 emit gamma ray. Those rays, because they have very high frequencies, pulverize through the body. They go straight through the membrane of the cell, and they can hit the DNA. There's no way the cell has evolved to protect itself from that. When you have an infection, when you have even a chemical come into the body's got a variety of ways to stop the entry of that chemical, of that infective element into the cell. But when you talk about a radiation particle, when you talk about a radiation wave, a high frequency wave, the body hasn't really evolved mechanisms to protect itself from that. So the DNA is like a sitting duck for these types of attacks on the cell. Now, there's lots the cell can do to repair itself, but the fact is the cell cannot protect itself initially from the first onslaught. So when we talk about Fukushima and we say a reactor melted down, we're looking at cesium-137, which is what? If you check the website, I've got in picture number 4, the periodic table of elements. Periodic table of elements are all the known elements. So any compound, any threat, anything chemical that you're talking about is composed of a wide variety of elements. On the bottom there, if you check that picture, you're going to see something that says CE. Right on the bottom lower level. CE, a molecular weight of 58. Then you're going to find strontium on that page also. That's got a different molecular weight. But collectively, they compose, whether it's cesium or strontium, collectively they compose what went into the ocean when Fukushima melted down. So you have two atoms, cesium and strontium. Those atoms are called radioactive. That means their protons and neutrons in the center of the cell are exploding. They explode at a certain rate. That rate of explosion has a lot to do with how dangerous they are to the body. In other words, the speed at which they decay in the body will bombard whatever they hit with all these emitting entities from alpha particles, beta particles, gamma rays, as the atom decomposes. Now, if you ingest that into your body, well, obviously, that decomposition is going to pulverize your cells, and this is the threat. So we have these two unstable isotopes that occur in nature that derive themselves from the breakdown of uranium, and they're emitted into the ocean. And the scare is that once the fish eat them, and once the seafood imbibes these radioactive elements, they're going to work their way up the food chain and into the human body. Now, the guys that crunch the numbers are the scientists. And if you hit the literature, and I'm going to quote a scientist now that's all over the paper from the State University of Stony Brook. I don't know if you're familiar with Stony Brook. Stony Brook is out in the East Coast. Stony Brook was put up in the 60s. It was planned on ending up more or less as the Berkeley of the East Coast, and I think it's done a very reputable job. It draws, I believe, more Nobel Prize-winning scientists than any school in the United States outside of Harvard. And there's a guy, his name is Nicholas Fisher. And he's a biogeochemist, and he's studying the fish populations, and they're measuring. And they're measuring from last year to this year. And his work, he's part of a larger consortium of scientists, and his work is declaring very, very definitively that even